glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, September 9th, 2024, 20 days out from our audience of one, a call to praise and worship. 20 days, listening friend, as we hope to pack the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people we hope will gather for a special time of praise and worship and a challenging message that we become that one church, faithful followers of Jesus working together for a greater purpose. You can find out more at greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see our audience of one, a call to praise and worship. Click on the link. It'll give you all the details, and we trust God's going to do a very unique work that night. It's happening Sunday, September 29th, 6 p.m. Doors open at 5:30, and trust me, it's going to be one event you don't want to miss. In fact, a couple months ago, I had Mike Crosta and Kyle Howard in the studio, and Kyle's going to be the worship leader of our audience of one, and so you're going to hear a little of his testimony, what he hopes God achieves on September 29th at our audience of one, and a little of his background testimony and passion for singing praises to the Lord. I begin the interview from July 1st, talking about what I hope your church experience was about. Hopefully you got to meet up with fellow like-minded believers at your church and be blessed by the message. God always desires to work through the pastor to equip us to go into all of our world preaching and proclaiming that good news message of Jesus. Well, I have two friends in the studio with me. In fact, I wrote down already the word gift sets. It's so wonderful when you see God working through individuals to further his kingdom purposes. And so joining me and who read Psalm 23 was Mike Crosta. You've heard him a number of times in the program. He was the MC at our audience of one last year and facilitated that time of prayer and helped us with the transitions and honor the Lord. He helps us with our monthly gatherings where we meet in prayer, and he always emphasizes the importance of when we go before the Father, we're going before him as royalty, as his beloved children. And it's an amazing concept that if you've never thought that through, recognize if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed. You don't have to grovel and beg and plead with God. He delights in you. He loves you because you love his son and you recognize his son as your Lord and say, oh, I'm getting on a roll here, guys. I want to really actually introduce you. But joining me is Mike Crosta, who just wrote a book. I'm going to have him back to talk about it. I'm about halfway through. And it's one of those books where I can't wait to finish it so I can start it up again, but it's about wisdom. And so when I wrote down gift sets, I love and appreciate Mike's wisdom, his insight, how practical he is, his passion for the Lord. And so he's a part of our audience of one, and we're going to have a call to worship coming September 29th. A lot more to say about that in the coming days. But my other special guest is Kyle Howard. He's the worship pastor at the Vineyard Church in Urbana, and he helped facilitate our worship time with the audience of one last year when we had the prayer gathering. And he was recommended by a number of people. He had put on a worship service for Salt and Light, and people loved that he had diversity, different talented people. And so he came to mind again. Jeff Goldberg, Mike, and I all said, I wonder if we could get Kyle to help facilitate worship and maybe even this year have additional members on the worship team before that September 29th date. So more to say about that, but I wanted to introduce you to Kyle Howard on kind of a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, because I want you praying him up, and he's going to help facilitate. We're calling it a call to worship for that Sunday evening. It's an audience of one. It's where we want to just praise the Lord and unify one with another, the great God that we get to serve, and we're going to worship him. So last year we prayed to him and celebrated that we get to talk to God. This time we're going to worship him, and Kyle Howard's going to help facilitate that and working with the team. And so be praying up what God's going to do on September 29th, 6 p.m. at the Virginia Theater. But Mike, I'm going to start with you. And then you've known and been under Kyle's worship style, his leadership at the Vineyard Church. But he came to your mind again as being somebody that could facilitate worship. But what would you want to say about Kyle?
Yeah, there would be one thing right off the top of my head, Mark, and it's Kyle is super sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And very honoring of the presence of the Lord, which is a real high value of ours. And so he's really, to me, one of the best around mm-hmm. to do that.
And so, Kyle, it's going to be a little bit of a Testimony Tuesday on Monday. Talk a little about how God has led you to be the worship pastor at Vineyard Church and maybe a little of your testimony.
Yeah, I have been in church my whole life, mm-hmm. thankfully. I'm thankful for that. My mom raised me as a single mom for most of my life and had a couple father figures over the years, but really thankful that my mom just really kept us around church and around godly people. So even there was even seasons when my mom was working multiple jobs and she wasn't able to go or didn't, you know, have the energy or whatever it was, I still found a way to be at church. I just loved being at church. There was something about it. I always found community. And so growing up, I would be in the South. So grew up in the South at church, and I always loved music. I was always a singer. And when we finally made our way back up to Champaign, Illinois in Mahomet, we eventually found the Vineyard. And that's where I'm at now. And that was around fifth grade. And I loved music. I loved singing, but I'd never really been drawn to it in the church setting. And I don't know why exactly, but when I came to the Vineyard, it was like a full band. And so very similar to what we'll see at the audience of one, a call to worship, full band setting. And for some reason, I was like, wow, this is like very, very cool. It felt powerful. I didn't know what I was feeling, but that was the Holy Spirit. I felt goosebumps, all the things. And so I knew as a fifth grader, I was like, I want to be a part of this worship team. And so I got together with the worship pastor at the time, and the worship pastor had this kind of, I don't know if you want to call it rule, but if you wanted to lead worship, you had to learn an instrument. And so I was just a singer. And so I wanted to pick up the guitar. I thought the guitar was the coolest. Mm-hmm. And so picked it up, was not very good at it, really struggled to play. My fingers were hurting, you know, all the things you hear from people who are starting out on guitar. But then I just eventually just started falling in love with it. I think I fell in love with guitar just as much as singing for a season. And it wasn't very much longer after that. It was in junior high, sixth and seventh grade, I started leading worship at the Vineyard and my youth group and junior high and high school, and pretty much would just say yes to any worship opportunity that would come my way. It didn't matter how small it was. I remember one of the first events I ever led worship for was a Mandarin potluck event. And no one really knew English very well. And I'm up there just singing in front of a bunch of people in a different language. And you know, everyone's kind of staring at me, that kind of thing. But I just loved it. I was so hungry to grow. I loved Jesus. I wanted to serve. And I was just hungry to do it. And so that's really been a lot of my story, is just saying yes to what was in front of me and stewarding it the best I can. And I think that's a goal of a lot of us. But that's just something that it was just right in front of me. And I would say yes to it. And I wasn't necessarily looking at two steps ahead. I was just looking at what was right in front of me. And And so I would just lead faithfully and steward the small things for years over junior high and high school, and came on staff actually at my church when I was a junior in high school. So I was going to school, and then I was coming to the church after school to help out with the tech team for different kinds of events. And then that led to working in our print room as full-time in my young 20s. And then a worship director position opened up at one of our campuses. I said yes to that, did that for a number of years, and then that's what led me to being the worship pastor. So it's been a number of years now since I've been doing that. That's kind of the quick how I got to what I'm doing.
And I wrote down, and you mentioned loving Jesus. So take us through, because there's a wide range of people tuned in, because we're with our 19 frequencies between rock and roll stations. Somebody might say, loving Jesus, who is Jesus? Or is there a God? I don't know if I believe there's a God. There's so much hurt and pain and suffering in this world. So talk about why you came to know and love Jesus, and it was personal.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, again, as I said before, I'm really thankful that at a young age, I was just kind of brought into church. But that can also be a challenge, because when you're brought into something, you also have to kind of discover it on your own. And So I don't know what age it was that I was like really aware of who Jesus was and who the Holy Spirit was. But I realized as I got older, and I mentioned that being raised as a single mom, I had multiple father figures in my life. And so there's actually a part of it where I had to actually lean into something else. Like there were things that I knew I wasn't necessarily going to learn from other friends of mine who had fathers in their lives, and to teach them different things, even practical things of just like how to use tools and how to build things. Like those are just things that like I just didn't have. And obviously those things can go into things like if I was at a basketball game and my father wasn't able to be there, or I didn't have a father there. Like those are things that like I think some kids have the privilege of having that, but then there's a lot of kids like myself who don't. So I actually, without even being fully aware of it, was having to lean into something else, and that being Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Right. And so there would just be times when I knew that like I didn't have the words, or I didn't have the feelings to, like, I didn't know what to do. I would have to lean into that. And so I remember even as a kid, like laying down in my bed at night, like I would pray, and I didn't even necessarily know how to pray fully, or even I knew I was praying to God, but I didn't even know actually who God fully was. But I knew that over time of overdoing this and over lifting up my emotions, lifting up the things in my heart, that I knew it was unto something or someone. And over time, I think as I was doing that, I became more aware of who God was. And so that's just kind of like an interesting way. It's hard to put into words, but I know that being faithful and doing something consistently and praying and asking God to reveal himself more, those are things that can actually happen. And that's those are things I've seen in my life from doing it.
We're going to come back to Psalm 23, because we opened up the program, and that's a favorite passage or a favorite portion of scripture for you. But Mike, I want you to address a little bit, because some people have never come to Almighty God, Father God. They're aware of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, but they don't know who their father was, or their father was abusive or a workaholic or inept, or maybe was a pretty good man but was disappointing at times or didn't follow through, and they project that onto God. So we always have to be careful that we don't project some of the human tendencies where our fathers failed us onto the sovereign God. And I knew, I grew up with a workaholic dad. So actually my mom and dad were separated for a year and a half, and I didn't even know it because my dad worked so much. But I used to write down, when I'd write down the word father, I put farther, and it was maybe a Freudian slip or something, but it was like, because he's far away.
Yeah.
And so I had a transitional time where I looked at God the Father as my father in a unique way. I just thought how Jesus referred to him as daddy. Yeah, very personal. And so talk to that person that maybe didn't have the greatest role model of a father, and how God is so much greater than that.
That's so easy, Mark. And if you want to know the Father, you look at Jesus, because he is exactly everything that the Father is. And so that should dispel any confusion. He's kind, he's loving, he's generous, he's for us, he's with us, he cares about us. That's the Father. And he fully and completely represents the mm-hmm. Father's heart toward us. And you just can't miss. He's just someone you are compelled to love.
Yeah, I think of that verse where Jesus says, if you've seen me,
yep.
you've seen the Father. And
that's
Jesus
right.
was a compassionate. He brought healing and hope. Yes, there were times because he's holy and representative of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And yet he extended love and care and compassion in so many different ways. So
yeah.
listening, friend, if because of life circumstances have never entertained that God loves you, he does. He proved it by sending Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's amazing sacrifice that he gave up, but we can't earn our way into heaven. It's not by our good works or leading worship or preaching a great message or attending church or tithing. Those are all good things, and you want to give back to God because he loves you, but it's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we're able to have that relationship with God. Well, Psalm 23 is an interesting psalm that talks about how God wants to bring rest and healing and hope. So why did you choose that of all the passages or verses you could share on?
I think because even tying back to some of my story, the section in the middle, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Obviously, walking through the valley of the shadow of death is very intense, but it's still very relevant because we all have our own versions and stories of what mm-hmm. that actually looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can be simple things. It can be a very intense thing. So, like, I think for me, just even knowing that sometimes I didn't have someone to actually, you know, lean into growing up, it's that could be my valley and shadow of death. Mm-hmm. But to know that someone actually is with me, and that is God, that is Jesus. And so I think just the key part there in the middle has been really important to me in my life.
And Mike, I don't know if you want to, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but the opening of that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I think we have to come to the realization, what is a shepherd? What is the purpose of a shepherd? What does the shepherd want to do for the sheep? Because that may become a bridge for some people that never looked at Jesus as being that shepherd,
yeah.
the great shepherd
yeah.
that cares.
Yeah. A shepherd is two things, Mark. He's a guide, right? And he's sort of correct. He corrects us. And both of those are for one purpose, and that is that we would have the fullness of life that we could possibly have. And so sometimes you need to correct people in order for them to have that kind of life. And so every aspect about him as shepherd is wonderful and good for us.
And some of you might be familiar with that picture or poster or painting where there's that lamb on the shoulders of the shepherd. And that's what Jesus is all about. He wants to carry us. He wants to walk through the day with us. He'll lead us and guide us and keep us out of trouble. And he has a plan and purpose for us. So listening, friend, God wants to equip you today to walk with the shepherd, to be led by him. And your day will go better and you'll be used for kingdom purposes that could impact people for all eternity. Well, if your prayers were going to be answered, Kyle or Mike, for our audience of one, a call to worship happening on September 29th. It's a Sunday at 6 p.m. How would that manifest? How would God answer that prayer?
I think it looks like the people of God coming together, and I pray people that don't know God. I pray for people to wander into the Virginia Theater that maybe just even hear a sound in the streets, and they enter in and they join the sound of worship to God. That is a prayer of mine. That's even as I lead worship at church on Sundays, it's like people at the gas station across the street, I hope they hear the sound that's going on in this room and they feel led and welcome to come in. So that's something that I pray for, is just that the people of God and the people that don't yet know him find their way and join the sound of heaven that we are joining.
Now, Mike, that's going to be happening on Sunday, September 29th. You emceed our gathering where we prayed and worshiped God. How do you see the evening unfolding?
Well, I really like what Kyle just said, because that's exactly how I came into the church that I'm in. I was walking outside a campus where worship was going on, and I said, what is that music? I have got to know. So I'm so glad he said that. What do I want to see? I want to see, as Kyle said, I want to see the one people of God in Champaign-Urbana start seeing themselves as one people. And not divided or separated, coming together. You said, Mark, the first audience of one was for prayer. Well, this next one is now worship. We have a call to worship, and we're worshiping the Lord. We know that He has a work for us to do in this city. We know that. And we want to just tap into His heart, find out what that is, and do it.
Mm-hmm. Listening friend, September 29th, it's a Sunday evening, 6 p.m. It's a free event, no need for tickets or making reservations, but we hope to fill the Virginia Theater. We want God to do a supernatural work that may affect all eternity. Maybe you're going to bring your unchurched friend or your neighbor or your colleague or somebody you know to come out for an evening of worship. So it'll basically be set up where there'll be some greetings, and Mike Crosta will help see the evening. He'll introduce Kyle and his worship team. And so if you're in a church and you're a part of a choir and you love singing and praising the Lord, if you're getting a stirring in your heart, at the least be praying for our September 29th event. But the goal is to be one. And so the evening will begin with a good time of worship, 30 or 40 plus minutes. And then we're going to have a special speaker that's going to talk about God's heart for our community and God's heart for you. God wants us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors. So we want the evening to be an audience of one where God will be present, He'll be celebrated, but we're going to learn to respond to the prayer that Jesus had, that we would be one as He and the Father is one. It's a powerful verse in John, I think it's chapter 16 or 17, but we want to be one as God would want us to be one and be that representative to this hurting world. So please put that date on your calendar, Sunday evening, September 29th, 6 p.m., more to say in the coming days. And Kyle, I'm going to have you close out our program with prayer, praying for those that might have the gift of worship or want to participate, to the prayer warriors, to launch them into praying for this event, to the person that maybe doesn't have a relationship with God yet, but is intrigued by this concept where God can be known and He's personal.
Yeah, Lord, we thank You for Your presence, and wherever we're at listening to this right now, we thank You for Your presence right here in this moment. And Lord, I thank You specifically for the voices and the people who play instruments, those gifts that You have given to the people in this area of Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, and surrounding areas. And Lord, I pray that they would be called to this event in September. And God, I thank You for all the gifts that You've given. And I thank You that You have revealed Yourself through Your Son, and that we have access to that, and that we see, just like Mike said earlier, we can see who You are, Your heart, through this man named Jesus. And I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You for the cross. And God, I pray over this night that it would bless You, that it would bring fame to Your name, that You would be honored. And I thank You in advance that You will be there on this night. I thank You for the people coming. I pray for people to see You and experience You and encounter You for the first time, for the 100th time, for the 1,000th time, Lord. We thank You that You will be there and that You love to see a people, Your people, gathered together and just being together in one voice and one heart. And that's our prayer for this night, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.